Let's take our scriptures this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 16, if you would, please. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate the heart and the spirit of your presentation. And you can see she has a wonderful spirit in the establishing of the kingdom of God in Italy and the places represented in this room this morning. We believe in missions. The church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. And that church is a place and a home for missions. Apostolic outreach. We use the word missions and missionaries because we're afraid to use the word apostles and apostolic outreach at times. But the Bible clearly tells about those who go out and spread the message and spread the kingdom and plant the churches are functioning in apostolic ministry. But the issue is the church that stops giving to apostolic outreach, that stops giving to missions, is a church that dries up. Yes. Our whole background and perspective is give, give, and give from what God has given to you. And as a church here at Grace Christian Center, you can see at the back board, my friends, Pastors David and Julie Koblen, wave at them right now. They're at the board. There are Vanna and Vanette waving and showing our missions board right there. And we have letters from places around the world, Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, from Uganda, from Mexico, from... call off the names, David. I can't remember them all.
Israel, Mexico, India, Africa, Italy.
Okay. Very good. Very good. The issue is, if you stop giving, like I just mentioned, you dry up. And as a church, a lot of times, many people pull back on their giving when times become tight. But our dedication and our commitment from the beginning has been to give in missions. We give thousands of dollars every year in missions, and we will continue to do so. And we're grateful for seeing. It's great to see you again. My goodness. I know you have to, you're going to be speeding right away, shortly after service. So if we don't finish in time, wave on her at the way out the door or try to give her a hug and speak to her for a few minutes first, but we appreciate you being here. We've been involved in a series on the church, thank you, if you would please, being alive and well. And we've gone to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll go there again this morning. Matthew 16, and I'm going to zero in on verses 18 and 19, if you would please. Beginning with verse 18, I'll read part of it. And, Jesus' words, and he says, I will build my church. What did he say he'll build? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. What was that again?
His church.
His church. And the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What you bind shall be bound. What you loose will be loosed. God has given us a command. Go into all the earth and make disciples, teaching them. Commanding them or teaching them to obey the things I have commanded. The Bible doesn't just say go. It says go make disciples. Go and what? Go and teach them to observe the things that he has commanded. His goal is to bring his kingdom on earth as it is where? In heaven. Now let's see it from Scripture this morning, if you would, Pat, please. I have several Scriptures I've written out for us again this morning. Let's just go through them. If you want to read them out loud with me, let's do so. Matthew 24, verse 14, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in how far? All the world as a witness to... I'm sorry, just a second. I know I'm interrupting. I apologize. How many nations? To all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 13, verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to?
Every creature.
Now there are some, you know, this is just Americana civilization and culture. That's what some people think. You shouldn't send missions out. How many realize missions are coming into America now? to try to reach this culture for the truth of Jesus Christ, for the reality of Jesus. But every creature has got to hear this. The truth, the word, the life. Everybody's got to know about Jesus. And come to Him. That's our prayer. All right, Luke 24, 47 and 48. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. All right, now the next passage is from Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 20. And this is the familiar scriptures of Peter going up onto the housetop to pray. And we'll go ahead and read through these scriptures as well. We've been through this when we went through our long study on the book of Acts. But the whole issue is, Peter is trying to get a man over his prejudice against certain people groups, namely the Gentiles, the pagans, the Jews. And the early church, as it was birthed, it was a Jewish Christian church. But God was trying to get the message to spread further. And He had to help people overcome their attitudes toward other cultures. I remember visiting Pastor David and Julianne in Moscow at Mission Living Faith in Moscow, Russia. Spent, a week to 10 days with them. One of the highlights of my life. But I must confess to you, I had to overcome and repent from my prejudice toward the Russian people. I didn't know the Russian people. All I knew was they were going to make me have to get under my little desk in school. As if in a nuclear war, my little desk under school would have protected me. Didn't you ever do those drills? All right. But these were the people that I was raised in a culture to hate. I wasn't supposed to like these people. They were our enemies. And I went to Russia with the love of Jesus in my heart, saying, okay, Lord, I want to minister to these people, and found them to be loving God, loving their family, loving each other, wanting a better place to live, wanting to have things that we all wanted. I went to the World War II Museum. It changed my life in terms of its impact. When I am a student in some ways of World War II history in America, but I had never understood the 40 million people who died in Russia in World War II. And I went into this Hall of Tears. You go into this World War II Museum and you go into this very large room. I've spoken about it before. And there are stacks and stacks of books in these bookshelves lining the walls. And the books are simply the names recorded of the dead. And from the ceiling are thousands upon thousands of crystals hanging from slender golden threads. And you walk in and the room is a hush. It's their Hall of Tears for the dead, just from World War II. It just impacted my life. But, you know, we had to overcome prejudice, or I had to, in my own heart. And so God is working with Peter in this next set of scriptures to overcome a certain prejudice as a good Jew to not reach out to the Gentiles. And God's saying, I want you to open the doors of your heart and ministry. Let's read it, 9 through 20. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. See, it's biblical. We eat together. So, and he wanted to eat. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. That's what happens when some of you get hungry. Okay. That's a little joke. Very little. We'll go up if you'll raise that up, please. And saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, please say the phrase with me, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have what? I have sent them. This is a God-ordained time, Peter. I've got to stretch your heart, and there's a message. The message of the reality of walking in reality with Jesus has got to get out beyond your borders. There's more than just what's in your borders. There's more than just what's going on in your life. There's people all around you that need Jesus, and Port Ludlow and Port Townsend and Port Gamble and everywhere around this region, but all around the planet. People need Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
People need Jesus. Acts 13, verses 2 through 4. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Acts 13:47. "For the Lord has commanded us, I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Acts 26:14-18. "When we'd all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me," Paul is writing, "and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you," verse 17, "from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles," say the next phrase please, "to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And in Revelation, the last scripture on this section of overheads, "I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Now today in some people's vernacular, they celebrate what? What is today? Earth Day. We're going to celebrate filling the earth with His glory day, okay? The kingdom of God coming on earth. Now, I'm not against the ecological things that go on. I'm all for it. I chose to not wear a plastic tie in honor of Earth Day. Okay, we'll move on. But the issue is, we're going to fill this earth, or help to fill the earth, with His glory day. That's what it is every day. As you go preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." That's not up there. I skipped ahead. My apologies. I was all hung up in my little joke that didn't fly too far. All right. What I would like you to do is go ahead and turn to Matthew 10, and I'll show you the scriptures I just read. That would be nice, wouldn't it? "To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." All right. Where I'm at here is the scriptures are full of go and teach, go and share, go and preach, go plant the kingdom of God in other places. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8, Jesus gives a command that's different than these. This is earlier in His ministry. He had a 3.5-year ministry, His first year in obscurity, His second year in wild popularity, and then toward the end of His ministry, we see the crowds that gathered around Him turned against Him. But in Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8, we see a certain instruction from Jesus. "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans.'" Excuse me? At this point, His instruction was particular. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." All right, so His first phase and focus of ministry was for those of Israel. But those of Israel didn't receive the message. Now, as you look at His last words, which we've been reading some of them, let me ask you, is it important what someone's last dying words are? You know, we always want to know, what were such and such's last words? You know, and sometimes it's meaningful and sometimes it's not. All right, what were Jesus' final words before He ascended to His Father? What were those last words? What were those instructions? Well, Matthew 10 was no longer the instruction of the day. Now you have Matthew 28, where he is saying, listen, I got one final moment with you here. And I've got something important that's on my heart to tell you about. We've been through the death by crucifixion. We've been through the burial. And now we've had the resurrection. And soon we'll have the ascension. In just moments, I'm ascending to my Father. But I have you for a few more moments. Let me give you the instruction of my heart. I want you to do something. I've got something that's crucial. I want you to go and teach. I want you to go and raise up disciples. I want you to fill this earth with my glory. I want you to reach the earth. And tell them about Jesus and the death and burial and the resurrection. I want everybody to hear the good news. Say amen. Amen. Everybody needs to hear the good news, whether it's Italy, whether it's Russia, whether it's Uganda or Botswana, whether it's the United States of America. There are some people in our country who say, well, this is particularly Americanism that you're spreading. The missionaries shouldn't be going abroad to share Americanism. Well, listen, I love America. I do. I love America. I think we have some great things in America. I think we have some lousy things in America. Can Christians say amen? Yeah. So it's not Americanism I'm talking about imparting. The church is His church. It's not the American church we're talking about imparting. Those things that are good, great. But we're talking about the church of Jesus Christ spreading and the gospel, the good news, the life of Jesus, raising up, raising, teaching, making disciples. That's a message to all the world. And the mission isn't complete until all the world has heard. Isn't that true? Well, don't go. I know somebody very well who thinks one of the great tragedies of our life and ages is that America tried to spread Christianity by going and sending missionaries. Listen, I'm all for missionaries coming to America to reach us for Jesus Christ. Amen. The issue isn't Americanism. The issue isn't capitalism. The issue is Christianity and Jesus Christ. And in that instruction, by the way, it didn't say, I want you to go force people, kill their babies, rape their women, and put something on them called the Crusades. You know, there's been a big movement of asking forgiveness for those people groups who were hurt and decimated by the Crusades. Some well-meaning people, some well-intentioned people may have gone and taken the Crusades. But the result was not the right result. But what is the right result? Go and live among them. Go and demonstrate the lifestyle of Jesus. Paul went to a place and he usually stayed in that place. And he was a tent maker in that place. So they could see him at work. They could see him off work. They could see what he watched on TV. Okay, just seeing if you're awake. They went to see what the guy lived like and then he preached. So there was veracity to their words. Paolo and Cathy live in Italy. You lived in Uganda. You lived in Russia. You live here among people. Let them see by your manner of living the reality of the gospel. It's not spread Christianity at the sword. It's spread Christianity by the heart. The Church of Jesus Christ, alive and well, a place of apostolic missions, a place where the apostles' doctrine and the life of Jesus, go and teach, go and make disciples, teach them how to live this thing called Jesus and loving Him and loving each other. Go live it. Go love them. I think when you go to spread the word in another country, you've got to first get a grip on loving those people that you're going to, don't you? You love the people in Botswana. I'm confident you do. You know, you go to a place and respond to the Lord and ask God to birth that love in your spirit, Honduras. You know, you came to love those people and care for these people because you want them to know this Jesus you know. Are you glad to support missions? All right, let's go on. There's true authority. There's a true message that has to be preached. Matthew 28, if you'll turn with it. Well, we've already read it. Make disciples of all the nations, verse 19. The true authority is He's the proven Messiah. Dead, buried, resurrected. And since He's the proven Messiah, you have true authority to go preach a true message. Go and tell it with a true purpose. make disciples, baptize, and teach them. All right, what kind of true authority do we have? The Greek word on authority and power is the word exousia. And exousia is how it's pronounced in the Greek. But that means there's privilege, capacity, competency, and freedom. There's an influence to impart. In Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to impart that influence, that power, that light. There's exousia to give away. All freedom in Christ. Truth carries authority. Let's just make a simple point. Truth carries authority. Isn't that true? If you've got a true message, you speak it with authority, right? All right, 2 + 2 = 4. If somebody looked at you today and said, no, that equals 3, would you have any sweat having any confident authority saying, no, you're wrong, it's 4? How many know 2 + 2 = 4? Come on, preacher, real loud. 2 + 2 = 4. If they said it was 3, you would say to them,
no way.
You speak of deception. It's 4. And there's no sweat having confidence. There's no sweat having confidence in spreading the message. Jesus really died, really was buried, really resurrected. How could the earth be full of the teaching of Jesus? One of the main keys that points to the truth of his resurrection is the fact these timid, shy, scared, dejected, hopeless disciples immediately had a change of heart and came out with all exousia and dunamis power, and they stood up Jesus, you know, they preached Jesus on the day of Pentecost. Peter denied him, and on the day of Pentecost, after he knows his Messiah is alive, he stands up and he says, whoa, 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 we were wrong. And so are you, and you need to repent because Jesus is the Messiah come to Christ. There's an authority in the truth. The Bible says the church of Jesus Christ, we're preaching about the church being alive and well, is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. How many believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? You believe that? So there's confidence in your message. Go with that message. All power is in me. Go give it away. All right? Now, he says, the message must be given away. Go therefore. That Greek word go is poryumahi. It means traverse, go, travel, travel around, depart, go on your journey, walk around, and talk about this thing. Go is a lot easier in English than the Greek word, isn't it? Little two-letter thing. Go. That's a lot easier than paryumai. Okay? But travel around and go. Depart and give this thing away. Give Jesus away to people. What are you doing it for? What's your true purpose? To teach and make disciples. In the Greek, mathutuo. Mathutuo. It means literally to become a pupil, make a disciple, enroll them as a scholar. Anybody ever enrolled in a class? Ever? Okay. You ever had to go to school? Okay. You're some of these little ones. They're the only ones that don't have to raise their hands. Okay. You ever do a correspondence school? Or how about, let's be 21st century, how about an internet class? How many in this room ever do an internet class? Raise your hands. Go ahead. Oh, man. You are current dudes and dudesses. Okay? All right, so you enroll as a scholar. Jesus said his commandment was that the church of Jesus Christ was to be spreading his message, and the goal is to teach and enroll them as scholars, make them disciples. Kevin, why is it so important that we teach? Because it's the command of Jesus. Right? And why is it important that we spread this message? Because he commanded it. Why are missions important? Because he commanded it. He wants people all around the world to look like him. It's his church. And he wants us to know his word. All right, what does it mean? All nations. All nations is Greek pos ethnos. Ethnic? Pos ethnos. Pos is all. Ethnos, all races, all tribes. There's no one excluded. We saw the scriptures. No one is excluded. It's not by birthright just an American message. In fact, America would do well to come to repentance and surrender to Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
He didn't limit the outreach, but he said, go to all nations. Demonstrate my life, my authority, my miracles, my love, my power. Spread this message and live it in a real way. Most effectively, live it and give it away. All right, what did he say? He said, I want you to baptize them. Why is that important? Listen, how many remember what baptism is all about? We've taught them baptism. But how many think that baptism is really simply only symbolic? Good. You passed that test. Good for you. Not a hand in the place. All right, it's not symbolic. It's full of life and meaning. But let's just speak about one phase of what baptism is. Do you know, Jesus said, I want you to go teach them and baptize them. Do you understand how many people he was getting into hot water, so to speak, when he baptized them? That was hot water. Do you know why? You go to a Muslim country and you get baptized into Jesus Christ. Do you know what they know about you? You are dead to the old. And you are alive to the new. You are no longer what you were. Now you are something brand new. And in many times, if not most, it costs them their family, their relationships, their careers, etc. But Jesus commanded, go teach them and baptize them. Because you are putting the old to death. You are dead, buried, and resurrected with Christ. You are putting to death the old. You are saying, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this is the testimony that I live. Jesus is saying, listen. This is not just some light little thing. This is a message, and I am alive. I am the Messiah, and I radically change the world. I want you to go change the world for Jesus. Now, we love peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Touch your neighbor, say, I love love. I love love. Say it southern to each other. I love love. Now touch your other neighbor and say it southern. I love peace. I love it. I love peace. I love peace. And now turn to somebody in front of you. Say, I love joy in the Holy Ghost. I just love it. I love peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then, you know, and all that's true. Right? All that's true. And don't you wish it was good night now, that's it. Amen. But Jesus then goes on to say, this same Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. And my sword is not necessarily a sword of peace. I divide one from the other. And you got two who walk together, no longer walk together. I want you to bring people to Jesus. And it brings a division in. And you're going to baptize them and help them become disciples. This is powerful. This is life itself we're grappling with. Philosophies and demonic truths that are not truths, but demonic lies and deceptions that steal people to hell. And I want you to bring people to me. And so my kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. The church alive and well. A church of missions. The message is true. Jesus is alive. He's the Messiah. And He's the one we preach.
Hallelujah.
People need to come to Christ. But Kevin, don't you know that really messes up some cultures? How many of you understand that every culture, including American culture, must bow the knee to Jesus Christ? Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I had people that I met with who would look at me and say, when I was talking to them about repentance and baptism, they would say, don't you understand that's offensive to my culture? You white gringo. And I could never hide the fact that I'm white. When I went to New York to preach at Pastor Danny's, I told you the story. You know, he told his son, now when you go into the baggage area, just look for the whitest guy you've ever seen in your life. And that young man walked right up to me. He walked right up. He says, you must be Pastor Kevin. How did you know? He said, my dad told me, look for the whitest guy I'd ever seen. Anyway, I could not hide the fact I'm white, okay? But I love yellow, black, red. You know, I love them. I like to move. I like black preaching. Amen. Say it to me.
Amen.
I like all that. That's right. I grew up in a colorblind situation. I did. My stepdad, I was really close to him, grew up on the Columbia River in fish canneries with Asians and Filipinos and you know, Japanese. And it didn't, he loved them all. And so, you know, I grew up in Seattle. We drank coffee and loved everybody, right? Where was I headed before I got caught in all this? That's the problem. I was young and hip once. Now I'm over 50. I don't remember my point. Oh, anyway, so this guy says, listen, this is just white culture. And I looked at him and I said, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Every culture, Native American, Black, Hispanic, and European, American, every culture must bow to Jesus Christ. And if America is out of step with the Word of God, then America is wrong and must repent. Yes. Jesus knew what his instruction meant. Yeah, it meant radical change for some people. Listen, why do you think then his heart and purpose is put together a family as the church? Because other people are going to go through trouble. And they need to be nurtured, sheltered, and cared for in this church. Your new family to each other. Amen?
Amen.
Smile at each other and say, hi, family. Baptize them. You don't get baptized because baptism saves you. You get baptized because you are saved. But folks, you get baptized, and it's not just a symbolic thing. It is death, burial, and resurrection, and new life in Christ. And it means you're separated from the old. You teach them to observe. You put a watch over their life. That's what the Bible says. The Greek word, tereo. You put a watch over their life. You withhold them from going into sin. Listen, isn't that the purpose of teaching? One of the purposes of teaching is to teach you what to do and what not to do. And when you understand the Word of God and it grips your soul, you are held on the road and you don't slip away. Make disciples so they can't slip away, so they don't fall off to the side, so they look just like me, they act just like me, they think just like me. Yeah, it's going to cause them trouble, but you shelter one another. You're a church that's alive and well, and you love each other through the problem. Say amen. Cease keeps working with me to get excited about this stuff. Walks up to me after service. He says, you know, you're starting to get a little excited now. Teach them to observe these things. The goal, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you know the promise in that verse we've just been to? Do you know what the promise is? Listen, if I could help you get anything, the purpose of the message, some of his final words with his disciples. Here's his heart. Here's his burden. I've walked with some of the people in this room for 30 years. If I know that I'm dying, and I've got enough strength in my body to say something to my friends or to my family, I want it to be something of meaning, not go throw away the peanut butter, it's too old. I want it to be something of purpose, something of life, something of truth. And Jesus has these few minutes left. You know, he's walked the road with these people who have messed up. And Peter walked on the water and then sunk. And Peter denied him. But he loves Peter and he loves these people. And so he's looking at these 11 who are going to fill this earth with truth and preach about him. And he says, look, I've only got a few moments left. Listen, here's what I want you to do. Go and reach the nations. You know I'm alive. Go reach them and tell them the truth and tell them about me. You've got authority because you know me. You know I've really risen from the dead. You've got the message that'll bring them life. Go baptize them. Go disciple them. Help them stand when the tough time comes and we'll see my kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. And the glory of God will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. Why do you do what you do? What's your purpose? And then he says this. Teach them to obey my commands, and as they do, one final thing, as they do this, as they follow my commands, as this earth gets filled, guess what? Just so you know it, just so you hold on to this, one final thing before I go. I am with you always. I may go to my Father. My presence is with you. I love you. You look like me. You act like me. You talk like me. Your attitudes are like me. You're building a church like me, and you've got nations to change, and people come to me, and I'm with you. Always. And that Greek literally means forever in perpetuity. Now, in real estate, when you do an easement on property, most all the time, it goes with the lay of the land in perpetuity, forever. That means something. And Jesus says, I'm with you always. As you walk with me and obey my commands in perpetuity. What a message. The church of Jesus is alive and well. The church of Jesus, a church of missions, a church of apostolic outreach. And we're not done yet. Listen, I haven't even gone into, and I'm going to just touch it a little. Do you understand one of the fastest growing movements on the planet is the Muslim movement? And you need to understand the root of most all the Muslim movement is dedicated to wiping you out. Listen, in the culture of truth, we already know who wins. But without a passion for the commitment to truth and the life we must live and the goal we must have, we'll never raise our children to stand against the onslaught. But the Bible says they're not just going to stand, they're going to take the kingdom for Jesus Christ. Because the not just them, but us too, but because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You like being a missions church?
Yes.
You believe in it?
Yes.
Totally.
You like the apostolic message? Jesus. You, do you like Jesus this morning?
Yeah.
You like each other?
Yeah.
Turn to each other. Say, I like you.
I like you.
Say one more time. The church, is alive and well.
Alive.
The church,
is
a place of missions. Jesus, we thank you that you're there all the time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being so good to us. For the message that's real. The key of faith is younger. We thank you that the truth is you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we've given our life for you. Thank you for the peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and that's all powerful and wonderful, but there's a mission and there's a message to reach the world for Jesus Christ. We thank you for Kathy and for Paolo. Lord, we lay hands upon her and we bless them this morning in the name of the Lord, and we pray. Just reach your hands, extend your hands to them. We pray for them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, to rest mightily upon them, O God. Grant them great success and favor, Lord Jesus, as they reach out to people with the reality of who you are, as they birth and establish, as they minister. Bless them personally, Lord, their family, the children. Bless them for their sacrifice, Lord, leaving creature comforts. But they are in beautiful Italy. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for their service, their faithfulness. Bless them for taking the time to come here this morning. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray that these people here we'll be blessed. And as we go from this place, we'll go reaching out with the good news of Jesus all around us. Thank you for the missions that we support and the missionaries we don't know anything about all around the world preaching Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask one more time, fill this earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea.